my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by
title which we're going to talk about, and that is We Mustn't Quench the Spirit. We mustn't quench the Spirit. And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. And it's interesting how that leads up to that in that passage, because if we look from verse 14 onwards of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. And it goes on about not despising prophecy, but to test all hot things and to hold to those things that are good and edifying and so on. So it's important as we talk about and answer the question tonight with regard to we mustn't quench the Spirit, because that is what it's referring to in the context of Scripture. But it tells us why the Holy Spirit can be quenched. He mustn't move in an atmosphere where there is love and unity. He can only move and be glorified when there is love and unity. If there isn't love and unity of the Spirit amongst the brethren, then he is being quenched. We know that because we have just read it in its context. And that would explain why there are times we do not see the move of the Holy Spirit in a meeting or amongst brothers and sisters. We know that it is not just for the ministry, the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but the Holy Spirit is to move amongst the brethren and anoint and lead and guide as he wills. But he can be quenched if there isn't that love and unity in the body. And that explains a lot of reason why things don't always happen as they should. Why maybe at times we question, does God really answer his word or his promises? The Lord can only glorify his name and manifest himself amongst the right atmosphere. The atmosphere that will glorify his name, that is not defiled. And we're going to look at this evening. But as we open up with this, we need to understand this word quench. We're talking about do not quench the Spirit. That is in verse 19. So what is our understanding of this word to quench? Well, it means to extinguish. It's like putting a fire out. Or it could also be termed as to suppress. To suppress something or to stifle. These are all the ideas of to quench the Spirit. Now, this same word is used in several scriptures, quite a lot actually, but I'm just going to highlight on a few scriptures to give us the idea of this meaning and this word to quench. For example, in Matthew 25 and verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. So we know the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish, very well. We have much about that in this assembly, but there is the idea of the Spirit being quenched, the fire going out, and the foolish virgins have realized that they do not have that extra oil in their vessel. In other words, they haven't paid the price. They have not been in the word and prayer, sitting under the anointed word, the unction of the Spirit. And so we will see in these last days, which we believe we're in, there is going to be this separation of those who are paying the price, walking as disciples in that consecration, and those who are just compromising. So there is the idea of the Spirit being quenched. Let's turn also to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So here we have this idea, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith which is able to quench all the fiery darts. And of course, we're going to be looking much into this over the next few weeks as we are beginning to look at the whole armour of God. But I will just say at this point, in reference to this understanding to quench, this is why it is so essential that we preach the faith teaching and the deeper life. For we know in Scripture that it says clearly that without faith it is impossible to please God. And so you need to be in faith to believe that the Holy Spirit is not only present, but that he's not being quenched. So we all have to come as God wants, believing. Yes, with that mustard seed of faith. And that is what God requires tonight in this meeting, in our gathering, that we come here believing. Because those that believe receive. And God is glorified. And it is in our believing that the Holy Spirit is not quenched. And finally, just looking at this, as I've selected some scriptures with regard to this, Hebrews 11, and verse 34. Hebrews 11 and verse 34. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. So here we see this idea to quench. In other words, we are quenching here, or the saints were, by their faith, the powers of darkness, Satan himself. So we see two sides to this word. The Holy Spirit can be quenched, and also our faith, our warfare, the shield of faith, can also quench the fiery darts, quench the enemy. So here is this idea to quench. Now, we already said that to quench is to extinguish. It's like putting a fire out. And we mustn't attack the fire of the Spirit. And this can be caused by a number of things that so often are found in fellowships, in churches, amongst saints. For example, wrong relationships. The relationships are not right, they're not godly. Or we pursue relationships outside in the world, and we want to make more of those relationships out in the world than we do with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That is wrong. And it's very easy to do that and be tempted to do that. Or simply a lack of faith. We've already been looking at this. We're talking about now the idea of the fire being quenched, being put out. Because the Holy Spirit, he comes as like fire to consume, to burn up all the dross. And so a lack of faith will simply do that. This is why it is so important that when we come to meetings like this, that we come believing, believing to receive, believing that God is alive today, that he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he can meet my needs. So it's absolutely paramount that when we come together, like a meeting tonight, that we come, yes, if need be, just with that mustard seed of faith. But look what the scriptures tell us that he can do with that mustard seed of faith. So often in our unbelief, we are our own worst enemies. And yet we're told that faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God. Or we find where the Holy Spirit can be quenched through the distraction of others. Where others who come into meetings simply come just to distract the saints, to take their mind and heart off the Lord. And sadly, sometimes the enemy is working through them. This again can quench the Holy Spirit. Or it's the idea that we stop putting out the fire. Now, I already said that the Holy Spirit, to stop quenching the Holy Spirit, we must allow the fire of the Spirit to do that work. Because that's how he comes. That's how he came at Pentecost. They were seen with those cloven tongues of fire above them. He comes as fire. And the fire is to burn up the dross, to clean us up, to change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And we shouldn't be afraid of this fire, because this fire will not consume us. It won't destroy us. It's simply removing that which is ungodly in his sight. But we can stop putting out that fire by quenching the Holy Spirit. Or fire can only keep its flames when it has something in which to consume. And what is it that he needs to consume? Well, it's those wrong things in our lives. It's that unbelief. And of course, the enemy knows that, and that's why he tries to get us to run away from that fire with fear. But it's the very thing that we need in which to consume all of these things, to bring us closer to the love of God and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the fire need? Well, here it is in Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. Verses 12. Chapter 12, that's a chain of Romans. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There we are. You can do no more than present yourself as that living sacrifice, putting yourself spiritually on the altar of God. Here am I, Lord. Do with me as you please. I place my whole life, my whole being on this altar. And God will never turn away a sacrifice that is given with the whole heart, which is all we can do. We can't give anything else. What can we give? Because everything is freely given to us in Christ. Christ first loved us. So the only way we can give back is our whole life, our whole being, as that living sacrifice. And that is what the fire of the Spirit needs to survive, to keep it fanned, to keep it fueled. You are the fuel of the Holy Spirit. You stop the Holy Spirit from being quenched by your commitment, your love, your devotion to the Lord. Coming into meetings like this, where the Holy Spirit can speak to our lives and change us. You see, fire has to have the right environment in which is the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, we're told that we are called to be lights in this world of darkness. What is this light? It's not about you or me. It is the light that lives within us. And his name is Jesus. And so this light, again, this fire, can only be revealed in the saints when we don't quench the Holy Spirit, but we allow him to have his way, to move amongst us, to revive us, to encourage us, to help us in this life, because this life is difficult. There's trials, there's tests. And so the Holy Spirit's there as the comforter to help us to move alongside. The idea, as we know, is to take over. That is what his purpose is for you and I to move out of the way so that he takes over. And what does he want of us? To let go, which you would never do in the natural. It's crazy in the natural to let go. People will say you're mad. But that's the very thing that God requires of us, because God is a God of miracles. Your life is a miracle. You aren't like the world. You don't walk like the world. You don't talk like the world. You don't think like the world. Your life has been changed by the power of God's Spirit. You walk a supernatural walk. You are in communion with the living God who created and made the heavens and the earth. And we don't even know when we look up in that sky, those myriads of stars and galaxies around those stars. We know no end. There's no beginning, no end. We don't know how vast this creation is. And he's made his abode, he's made his dwelling, his home in your life and in your heart. That is profound. You can't get your mind round it. That's why he calls us to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, so we speak out in those tongues, because it's so deep. It's so vast. Our minds can't take it all in at once. And yet he knows every head of hair on our heads. He knows us more than we even know ourselves. And he tells us that he holds the reins of our heart, even when our hearts give up. He's the strength of our weakness. And he is the baptizer, baptizing you in the Spirit, so that you can move on into a deeper life and walk in the Spirit with him. How could we ever turn away? How can we go wrong? We are the only people that when we pray, when we intercede, we've already won the victory, even before we open up our mouths. It's already done. Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He's already heard, even before you open your mouth. How can we doubt him? And this is why the enemy becomes so vocal. This is why he's so fearful over your lives. Because you have Almighty God dwelling in you, in his fullness. And all we do in return is give ourselves back to him. Romans 12, that living sacrifice that the fire of God will come down and accept. Always in the Bible, when the fire of God fell on the sacrifice on the altar, that was always a clear sign of God's acceptance, God's presence. Always. So the fire has to have that right environment, which is the body of Christ, to burn brightly. He wants to burn brightly tonight through our gathering together, through us, as we have come into this room. He has placed a spiritual light in this place. You say to me, well, I can't see it. Yes, it will be seen as you go away and as you walk in this world and as God draws you alongside whoever he may do. You can't see it, but they see it. They see it. because they see that you have been with Jesus. The same light that Moses came down from Mount Sinai, being 40 days up with God, his face had to be veiled. The same God that meets with you and I. No different. No different. And this is why, brothers and sisters, we encourage body ministry. This is why we encourage that the whole body ministers as the Holy Spirit leads. It's not just left to one person or to a minister. We all function in the body of Christ. That is what it's about. And that is why we don't quench the Holy Spirit. And that is why our prayers and our intercessions for each other is so effective. We need to pray one for another. It is vital in the body of Christ. Well, looking at this, secondly, we can quench even our spirit through a lack of love, commitment, or sinning of the tongue, or trying to force one's ministry into an assembly or onto saints, or whatever it is. We've seen it, we've all experienced it. But what is happening there, that person can be quenching their heart, their spirit. That is why we have the fruit of the Spirit. This is how we're known as Christians. Turn with me, as you know it well, in Galatians, just to read this so that we see clearly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so it goes on. Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. Not by how necessarily how devout they are, or how often they pray or fast, and that can all have its place. But Jesus said, they are known by their fruit, by the way they treat one another, and they treat their neighbour, and yes, even their enemy. And we note that what it says in Galatians there is very practical. But we can quench our own heart, our own spirit. And one of the biggest problems in the house of God is, if I do something for the Lord, or if I step out, or whatever it will be, I will get burnt again, as I did before. It all went wrong, so why should I do it again? That, I believe, is a big problem in the house of God. It's quite a mindset, that. We are going to blunder sometimes. We are going to make a mistake. But you know, God has placed us in this environment. He's placed us amongst believers where we help, we encourage one another. And if a saint does miss it, then we help and encourage them. Don't give up. Try again. Because you will succeed. Many are moving into their ministries and gifts because they've tried once and it went wrong and I'm giving up. I'm not going to be burnt again. Well, that is what the enemy wants you to have. But there's never defeat with God. God never makes a mistake. And he's made no mistake over your life or my life. It may look as though he has, but he hasn't. Because the scriptures tell us that you've been called from the foundation of the world. God first loved us. God first called us. And if God doesn't call, then no man or woman will be saved. And yet we still have a free will. He's even included all of that. But he knows those who will respond. And all the while we're responding and we're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and we love his word and we love the saints and we love coming together, they're all clear signs. I have been called from the foundation of the world. And those that endure to the end, stay to the end in faithfulness, that is a clear sign you've been called. But don't believe the enemy's lie because you were burnt before. Rise up again, trust the Lord and move forward. Or maybe you quench the spirit because you're saying in your heart, oh, they rejected me. They don't like me. They seem to be cliquey. They seem to have their favourites and so on. Well, if that is going on in the body of Christ, God will soon deal with that. Because that is wrong. The scriptures are absolutely clear that at the foot of the cross, the ground is level for all of us. So we're not to be put off by these things. Or I feel a failure. How often have we felt a failure? Oh, I have in my flesh felt a failure many, many times. But we cannot let that quench our heart, our spirit. Because nothing is a failure with God. And even God uses the failures. He uses even when we miss the mark. That's why it says in Scripture that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. All things. Yes, maybe the worst things you've done or the worst things you think about in your mind and heart, God says, I use that for my glory to work that in and through you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful that our Heavenly Father knows everything about us? And that's why you don't have to hide from him. That's why you bring it all before him. Yes, the most vilest of things. Yes, those things you are absolutely, utterly ashamed of. Talk to him. Bring it before him. He loves you. He isn't shocked. That is why he came in the flesh, like us. He was touched like we were. Whatever you've gone through or experienced, he was touched the same. He was tempted the same. That is why he is that mediator. That is why he's the one who sits at the right hand of the Father who receives your prayers. Because he understands you. He understands those cries. And he takes them to the Father. Hallelujah. But all of this can be part of quenching the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit any longer in your life. Don't listen to the devil's lies. He comes to condemn us. That's what he does. And so here we have looked at two sides. We can quench the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, and we can quench him in our own lives, in our own hearts. So bringing this to a conclusion, let's look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 to 50. Mark 10, verses 46 to 50. And here is where Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out to say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Here we see the love of God reaching out. There is no quenching of the Spirit here. Here is Jesus, the light of the world, coming, revealing that light, and in that light there is healing for this man. And this man was not arrogant or proud or expecting that this was God's duty. He said, "Have mercy on me." And that is what God is working with all of us. That we come to that place where our hearts cry out, "Lord, have mercy." Because it is by the mercy of God that he is restoring and bringing us back into faith, under his presence, under his banner, under his anointing. It is going to be his mercy that is restoring us from tradition, from man-made things, from bondage, religion. He's drawing us back so that we can experience the Holy Spirit. We can experience him as that fire that comes to heal, deliver, restore, and save. But the warning is that we must never quench the Holy Spirit. And it's so easy to do that. You see, the Spirit of God is gentle. And the warnings and restraints come to us in the most amazing and gentle ways. You see, if you are not sensitive enough to detect his voice, you will quench it. Because you have been saved for God to commune with you and to speak with you. He comes to you and I as that still small voice. We, of course, are reminded, aren't we, of Elijah. Elijah running away from Jezebel. 1 Kings 19 and verse 12. 1 Kings 19 and verse 12. "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." In fact, we'll lead into that in verse 11, because this gives us a good understanding of what God's doing with this man. "Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. and after the fire, a still small voice. You see, God is using all those elements, all those things that cause excitement, fire, rocks splitting in half and everything. That's what so many want today. They want to see drama. They want to be entertained. They want this idea of a Hollywood Jesus Christ. But he doesn't come like that. He comes in the still, small voice, which we just heard. And this is why it's important that we walk in that light. The light of the Spirit. That light, the Holy Spirit who's come to us in his fullness, baptizing us. But we can quench the Spirit by being insensitive to hearing his voice. And if you want to hear God speak, he is not going to speak in those places that so many are hoping where he is speaking. He doesn't. For God to have spoken to the nation of Israel, he had to first raise up a deliverer, Moses, and he had to bring them out of Babylon. And he brought that nation out into the wilderness, into a dry, barren place. Why? Because that is where he could speak to them. That is where they could hear what God is saying. And principally, the Holy Spirit still works the same. He hasn't changed. Many places which you think God is speaking or should be speaking, sadly isn't. Because these places don't want to hear what God is saying. They're not still enough. They're looking to the wrong places to hear that still small voice. You see, that still small voice is personal to you and I. He knows the right words to say to you because he's made and created you. And that is why it's so essential that we have that in our lives. But we can easily quench that, brothers and sisters. But that is how we grow. So I've shown you this evening how in our fellowship in the body of Christ, how we can quench the Holy Spirit through our lack of love, our unity, our care for each other. We can quench the Spirit. And I've also shown this evening how you can quench the Spirit in your own heart by your unbelief, by your fear, or being afraid to step out again when you failed before, or whatever it would be. All God wants us to believe and trust in that he is with us. And he doesn't forsake us or leave us. And very often when you step out in faith with your ministry, it looks peculiar. It looks odd, strange. This is why I never try to work out what I think God is going to do or what he should do. I've done it. We've all done it. We've worked it out in our minds only to find that we are disappointed, dejected, depressed. I don't do it anymore. All I say is, Lord, you know, and that's all that's needed. And I will do what you want of me, because at the end of the day, you're doing it through me anyway. And that way, you don't quench the Holy Spirit. And in time, you will find that what God does is absolutely amazing. You wouldn't have been able to work it out in a million years. Why am I saying this as I close? Because it's all about God's glory. That is one thing he will never, ever let us partake of to ourselves, and that is his glory. He is jealous over his glory, his name. And that is why we step aside, we let go, and let God be God. Let him take over. Let him take over your lives, whatever circumstances, whatever you're in, how bad it might look, whatever it is, step aside, let him take over, because he's a miracle-working God. And he says he will never leave us or forsake us. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your precious love and mercy. Thank you for the way that you speak life into us. How you revive us, strengthen us. Lord, we need your word. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to experience Christ in us, the hope of glory. We need to experience, Lord, your power taking over in that weakness. Forgive us, Lord, if we have quenched the Spirit. Forgive us, Father, if we quench the Spirit in our own lives and heart through unbelief. Lord, change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Help us, Lord, to be all and more what you want of us. We have placed ourselves upon that altar as that living sacrifice. And we believe, Lord, that your Spirit has come. You have accepted us. You have received us into the family of God. And Lord, help us not to run away from the light of your Spirit, that fire that comes to consume, to burn up the dross, the hardness, the areas of unbelief, confusion. And the wonderful thing is, Lord, that that fire does not destroy us. It simply builds us up, edifies us, changes us more and more. I'm reminded, Father, of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego that were put into the fiery furnace. And when they were placed in there, there was another whom they met, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And not a shred of their hair was singed. And they walked out of that fiery furnace without being burnt up. And that is the same spiritually, Lord, with us. Well, even though that fire is falling, and it has fallen tonight in this meeting, in our lives and hearts, yet none of us have been burnt up, because we are preserved and kept by the glory and mercy of God.
Trust him.